there's no sign of an end to the chill at the moment, and as you can appreciate this evening, we do have severe weather warnings all over the place. Heavy snow falling in Cornwall now, more of the same for eastern England, and clearly after all the snowfall that we have seen up to Amersham places, ice will be a widespread problem. But it's what's going to change, I think, that will make most of the difference through the night.
My name's Stephen Morris, and welcome to Songs in the Key Of, a podcast about songs. These might be old songs, new songs, or middle-aged songs, anything that takes my fancy, really. Sometimes these shows will be themed around an idea, a person, a genre, or some other concept. Other times, they will simply reflect my latest obsessions, my new favourite bands, those songs I can't get out of my head. This time round, I've gone for something a little bit different. The 10 songs featured on this episode are all basically the same song. My original intention was to do an episode themed around winter songs. I had 10 different tunes laid out: Fox in the Snow by Belle and Sebastian, Decembered by Brigadier Ambrose, Steal Softly Through Snow by Captain Beefheart, more besides. But when I started researching around the first song I had chosen, I found I had fallen down a massive rabbit hole that had links to my first visit to Reading Festival in 2000, a cult TV show featuring Eva Green, the lead singer of one of my favourite prog bands, a folk supergroup I once saw in Rochester's Sweeps Festival, and a tune I grew up convinced was a hymn. There are also pit stops involving a much maligned TV space opera, a Dickensian classic, and bizarre musical instruments that look like walking sticks. Welcome then to Songs in the Key of an Unquiet Grave. My first and only encounter with Ween was when I accidentally saw them at Reading in 2000. I thought I had turned up to see the fairly quiet, unassuming Ben and Jason performing their own particular brand of bedsit whimsy. I was particularly looking forward to them playing A Chest of Drawers. So it was a bit of a surprise to see Gene and Dean Ween bopping around on stage like lunatics, promoting their new album, White Pepper. To give you a sense of the kind of thing I'd walked in on, one of the songs from their 1997 album, The Mollusk, is a little ditty called Waving My Dick in the Wind. You may or may not be pleased to hear that I'm not going to embark on an episode full of interpretations of a song about male appendages being exposed to the elements. Instead, I'd like to point you in the direction of a song that appears two tracks earlier on The Mollusk. Cold blows the wind, staggers around with a lumbering gait. Aaron Freeman, aka Gene Ween, found the lyrics to the song in a book called Songs of England, Ireland and Scotland, A Bonny Bunch of Roses, and created the melody based around the chords provided with the text. Mickey Melchiondo, aka Dean Ween of the operation, is quoted as saying this about the recording of the song: "If any one song defines that record, it's that song. And we did it on the first night. It totally encapsulated that stormy first night at the beach. It was raining, dark and cold. It sounded nautical, scary, folky and evil. That song was something we had never done before. It set us on this musical path of what was to come." They jokingly referred to the song as being based on a traditional Chinese spiritual, but that kind of distracts from the fact of the matter. The song itself is delivered without irony, no tongues in cheek, nothing like that. It's a solid, gloomy interpretation of an agonizingly beautiful folk song about death, grief, and having to let go. This then is Cold Blows the Wind.
Cold blows the wind over my true love. Cold blows the drops of rain. I never had but one true love, and in Camville he was slain. I'll do as much for my true love as any young girl may. I'll sit and weep down by his grave for 12 months.
This was the plan. I was going to start this podcast with Battlehead's Cold Blows the Wind from their 2010 album Hedonism. We'd then move on to The Leisure Society and Iron and Wine and Emiliana Torrini and all manner of lovely things. But then I discovered the Ween interpretation of the song, and before I knew it, I was exploring German dark wave, 70s folk rock and 21st century prog rock. The song that Aaron Freeman found in that book of folk songs is a very old song, a very old song indeed. Rumour has it it dates back to 1400, so back to the days of Geoffrey Chaucer. Back in episode 65 of this podcast, when I devoted the episode to folk in its various forms, I mentioned how a chap called Francis James Child had collected together 305 traditional songs from around England and Scotland, alongside various American variants, to produce a collection of popular ballads. This song is catalogued as number 78 in his collection. Although Ween and Bellowhead use the title of Cold Blows the Wind, it is otherwise known as The Unquiet Grave, hence the title of this episode. There's a bit of tweaking around of the lyrics from version to version, with the genders of the narrator and his or her lover being swapped around to fit requirements, and different tunes get used along the way, making it a bit of a Ship of Theseus or Trigger's Broom of a song. But the overall theme of the song remains the same. Let's hear one version of the lyrics now. Cold blows the wind over my true love. Cold blows the drops of rain. I never, never had but one sweetheart. In the greenwood he was slain. But I'll do as much for my true love as any young girl can do. I'll sit and I'll weep by his graveside for a 12 month and one day. When the 12 months end and one day was past, this young man, he arose. What makes you weep by my graveside for 12 months and one day? Only one kiss from your lily-cold lips, one kiss is all I crave. Only one kiss from your lily-cold lips, and return back to your grave. My lip is cold as the clay, sweetheart, my breath is earthly strong. If you should have a kiss from my cold lip, your days will not be long. Go fetch me a note from the dungeon dark, cold water from a stone. There I'll sit and weep for my true love for a 12 month and one day. Go dig me a grave, both long, wide and deep. I will lay down in it and take one sleep for a 12 month and one day. I will lay down in it and take a long sleep for a 12 month and a day. Cold Blows the Wind, or The Unquiet Grave, is gloomy stuff with a kind of a moral, a message. Don't get obsessed with your mourning. Don't let it devour you or define you. In the text of the lyrics, that message is conveyed through the metaphor of wanting to kiss the corpse of your dead lover and the stark warning they give back. If you should have a kiss from my cold lip, your days will not be long. Followed neatly by instructions to fetch a note from a dungeon and water from a stone. In some versions, there's requests for milk from a virgin's breast. Impossible tasks that highlight just how futile it would be to mourn for too long. We'll be hearing a version of the song from Shirley Collins a bit later on, but here's a quotation from the liner notes to her second album from 1959, False True Lovers, on which she recorded the first of at least four treatments of the song. The rowdy Irish wake is the only one example of the common folk custom of gathering in which ceremonial banqueting and games were indulged in to show honour to the dead person. The shade was given a great sending off to the other world. Sometimes guns were fired to send him skittering away in fear. Sometimes a special door was cut in the side of the wall so that the coffin could be taken out by that route, and then this hole was walled up so that the ghost could not find his way back into the house again. In Scotland and Ireland, it was believed that excessive grief prevented the dead from resting, that the tears shed by the mourners pierced holes in the corpse. In Persia, they held that the tears shed by humanity for their dead flowed into a river in which the souls floated and drowned. Similar beliefs were held by the Greeks and Romans, and from medieval times throughout Germany and Scandinavia. Fans of Irish folk band Lancome might have spotted a familiar line in the form of "Go dig me a grave both long, wide and deep," which isn't too far removed from their cover of an old folk tune otherwise known as The Railroad Boy or The Butcher Boy. You could go down a completely different rabbit warren with investigating the history and recordings of that particular song.
Go dig my grave both wide and deep. Place a marble stone at my head and feet, and on my breast a snow white dove to tell this world that I died for love.
Let's take a look at Bellowhead's version of Cold Blows the Wind. Bellowhead were an amazing folk act, counting enough members to populate a football team. They added a funk and swagger to traditional folk melodies with brass, fiddles, accordions and drums. Curiously, I've only ever featured them once before, back on episode 54, Songs in the Key of Not Songs. But I would urge you to investigate their whole back catalogue for yourself if you're not already familiar with them. For me, they were my gateway drug into loving a genre of music I once used to dismiss as forever being associated with drunk men waving hankies around with bells on their toes. Bellowhead's take on Cold Blows the Wind is magical. It opens with a chilly sound of wind racing around, an effect created by lead singer John Bowden inserting his microphone into a tin can, which then turns around to capture the sound of a whole gale force wind. There's almost a calypso feel to it in places. It's louder and brasher than Wilt's take on the mournful ballad, but it still oozes sadness and grief in spades, with strings intertwining around the piping brass with eloquence and elegance. It's utterly gorgeous.
Cold blows the wind of my true love, cold blow the drops of rain. I never had but one true love, and in greenwood he lies slain. I'll do a
as much for my true love as any younger man. I'll sit and weep down by his grave for 12 months and a day. But when 12 months they were up and gone, this young man, he rose. What makes you sit by my grave and weep? I can't take my repose.
Dubliner, as in that's where he came from, but also that was the band he was in. In his hands, The Unquiet Grave is everything you'd hope an Irish folk version of the song would be. The mournful fiddle, the wandering tin whistle, the heartbreaking vocal delivery, and that shimmering sound from the banjo just adds to the haunting melancholy. It goes rather a lot like this.
Small drops of rain. Never have I had but one true love. In cold clay she is laid. I'll do as much for my true love as any young man may. I'll sit and mourn all on her grave at 12 months.
I am not, as a rule, fan of Vaughan Williams. As with a lot of English composers, well, Vaughan Williams and Elgar mainly, I generally find his music overindulgent, sentimental, and never in danger of actually getting anywhere. He started writing The Lark Ascending back in 1914, and I'm still not sure it's finished ascending yet. Vaughan Williams was very drawn to the rich world of English folk history, using folk songs as the inspiration behind many of his works. So it's unsurprising then that he turned to The Unquiet Grave a few times during his composing career. There's a version of it called How Cold the Wind Doth Blow for piano, violin and voice. But there's also one using The Unquiet Grave moniker, which, aside from the string introduction, is purely a choral work, with Vaughan Williams managing to perfectly capture the sound of a howling wind with just the human voice alone. It is stark in its beauty, eerie in its delivery. It might even make me think Vaughan Williams isn't actually that bad.
Oh,
way or another, Stephen Wilson has managed to put in a fair few appearances on this podcast over the years. I featured The Raven That Refused to Sing and Personal Shopper from his solo outings, Even Less from his band Porcupine Tree, and Love You to Bits from No Man, his project with Tim Bowness. I'm a big fan of Mr. Wilson. If you like your music proggy, it is entirely likely that you own a remastered version of a classic album on which this chap has woven his magic. Jethro Tull, King Crimson, Yes, and inevitably Pink Floyd. It was a bit of a surprise though to find his name come up when I started digging around The Unquiet Grave. Wilson's version, originally a B-side to his single Cover Version 4, is utterly spellbinding, recalling the sort of plain song you might hear in a monastery. It's one of the simplest sounding versions of the song you'll hear, which only adds to the magic and mystery found within.
Go fetch me water, my true love. Fetch me milk from a fair maid's breast. That young man has never known. How oft on yon grave, my true love, where we were to walk. The fairest flower that I ever saw.
In 2013, the German darkwave band Helium Vola included their take on The Unquiet Grave on their album Wohin, which translates as Where. Over a series of drones, Ernst Horn's distinctive German-accented vocal delivers a suitably mournful rendition of the lyrics before being joined by Sabine Lutzenberger, to provide the female vocals in response. As with the Stephen Wilson song, it is all about restraint here. There is more going on here than with Wilson, electronic beats and harps and keyboards, but it is hardly a picture of busyness. It is, however, rather beautiful.
Cold blows the wind to my true love and gently drops the rain. Cold blows the wind to my true love and gently drops the rain. I never had but one sweetheart, and in greenwood she lies slain. And in greenwood she lies slain. I'll do as much for my sweetheart as any young man may. I'll do as much for my sweetheart as any young man may. I'll sit and mourn all on her grave for 12 months and a day. For a 12 month and a day. When the 12 month and one day was past, the ghost began to speak. The ghost began to speak.
The part of the episode where, if it's not already happened, I can get my absolute geek on as we chart territories involving Radio 4 comedy programmes, a study of the content of the Baptist hymn book, and quotations from Babylon 5. One of the best moments on the Antidote to Panel Games, Radio 4's I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, is the round called One Song to the Tune of Another, in which contestants are invited to sing one song to the tune of another. Despite the fairly easy to understand premise of the game, it would usually be introduced with a complex analogy from Chairman Humphrey Lyttelton. My favourite example of one song to the tune of another was when Tony Hawks, perhaps best known for travelling around Ireland with a fridge, was asked to sing The Smiths' Girlfriend in a Coma to the tune of Tiptoe Through the Tulips. It went something like this.
You now, Tony, would you please sing the words of Girlfriend in a Coma by the Smiths to the tune of Tiptoe Through the Tulips.
Girlfriend in a coma. I know that it's serious. So girlfriend in a coma. I know. It's really serious. There were times when I could have murdered her, but I would hate anything to happen to her. Do you really think she'll pull through? Do you really think she'll pull through? Oh, girlfriend. Yes, it's serious. My baby.
Now, I bring this up because, as we've already heard, there are quite a few different tunes for the Unquiet Grave knocking around. It turns out that this song is in common meter, which means it can be broken down into verses of 4 lines each, with 8 syllables on the first line, 6 on the second, 8 on the third, and 6 syllables on the fourth line. The place you'll find a rather long list of songs that meet this criteria is in church. Dragged up as I was going to church and playing piano for many a church service, I quickly became familiar with the meter index at the back of the Baptist hymn book, which listed all the hymns that shared the common meter, and therefore could be sung a la, I'm sorry I haven't a clue, one song to the tune of another. And so the classic carol, While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night, can be sung to the tune of Amazing Grace, and the other way around. You'll also find you're able to sing either of those songs to the tune of The House of the Rising Sun, the Australian National Anthem, or the National Anthem of Yorkshire on Ilkley Moor Bar Tat. It also explains why in episode 8 of series 5 of Babylon 5, guest character Dodger is able to explain to Michael Garibaldi that any Emily Dickinson poem can be sung to the tune of The Yellow Rose of Texas. At a bit of a stretch, you can also sing The Rime of the Ancient Mariner to any of the above, and if you listen to the Journey Through Time podcasts about the history of Charles Dickens's A Christmas Carol, you'll hear that even part of the seemingly prose text of the story is written in common meter. In 1973, a prog band with a particular folk bent called Griffin released a self-titled album a year into their existence. The final song on side A was a little ditty you may now be familiar with called The Unquiet Grave. And for this, they used an old folk tune which may be called Gilderoy if you live north of the border, Kingsfold if you live south of the border but east of the Irish Sea, or Star of the County Down if you live on the Emerald Isle. If we pop back to church for a minute, I promise we won't be there for long, I'll be able to tell you that I first heard this melody as the tune to a hymn called I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say. But it was also used as a basis for Child Ballad No. 56, Dives and Lazarus, which retells one of the lesser known parables from the Gospels. Back in the day, Ralph Vaughan Williams, who we've already met on this episode, used that melody as the basis for his 5 variants of Dives and Lazarus, and I actually used a snippet of this by way of introducing this very podcast you are listening to. Griffin's use of the melody for The Unquiet Grave is rather less ponderous in sound than Vaughan Williams' seemingly endless rendition. It's a proper finger in one ear, pint of warm ale in the other hand kind of a performance, and it comes with the added highlight of crumb horns. Griffin must be one of the few bands in the history of popular-ish music to utilise the humble crumb horn. It's an unusual-looking double-reeded instrument, once popular in Renaissance times, shaped a bit like a walking stick and sounding a bit like an oboe, only a bit earthier. The result is a rather splendid piece of 70s proggery, the kind of thing that is no doubt languishing, rather unloved and forgotten, in the vinyl collection of your uncle of a certain age. Listen to this. It's rather magical.
Where you and I would walk,
is withered to a stalk. The stalk is withered and dry, sweetheart. The flower will ne'er return. And since I lost my own true love, what can I do but mourn? When shall we meet again, sweetheart? When shall we meet again? Ere the oaken leaves that fall from the trees are green and spring up again.
By no means the only dark wave band to take a shine to this 600-odd-year-old song. Faith and the Muse from America have also recorded a version of it. This band have been knocking around since about 1993. Their take on The Unquiet Grave, taken from their 1994 album Illyria, is a rather jaunty affair. You might mistake for the kind of thing that you'd see a newly married couple dancing to in some rustically romantic period drama. Part of the reason behind this might be that Faith and the Muse's take on the song is slightly more positive than the other versions heard on this episode. If you don't believe me, just listen to the last four lines of the song. The stalk is withered dry, my love, though our hearts shan't decay. So make yourself content, my love, till God calls you away. It turns the whole song into an urge for patience. You can't have me now, but one day we will be together again. The song resounds with relentless percussion and recorders. There's a vibrant, immersive earthiness to this version of the song, something ageless, the kind of thing you could imagine being heard at solstice celebrations at Stonehenge. Shirley Collins is one of those behemoths of folk legend, with a delicate, vulnerable voice that could break your heart as soon as look at you. She's recorded a few versions of The Unquiet Grave over the years. The one I'm going to play in a minute appears on her 1960 album, The Power of the True Love Knot. She accompanies herself on a bespoke instrument made by John Bailey, who was famous among folk circles in the 60s, for making and repairing stringed instruments for folk musicians. She describes it as a dulcimer with a five-string banjo neck. It's possibly the simplest version of the song to appear on this episode, which somehow makes it all the more poignant.
Cold blows the wind tonight, true love. Cold are the drops of rain. I only had but one true love, and in greenwood he lies slain. I'll do as much for my true love as any young girl may. I'll sit and mourn the 12-month and the day being gone, the ghost began to greet your salt, and tears they trickle down. They wet my winding sheet.
For the final interpretation of this song, I thought we'd turn to possibly the most chilling version of it I could find. It's from the soundtrack of the TV series Penny Dreadful, which was based on a graphic novel and features Eva Green, Timothy Dalton, Billy Piper, Josh Hartnett and Rory Kinnear. It's a kind of mash-up of various pieces of Gothic fiction from the 19th century, much like Alan Moore's The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, only this is substantially darker. You've got Frankenstein, Dracula and Dorian Gray all hanging out with each other, with everyone coming out of it rather miserably. The version I'm about to play is sung by the actress Helen McCrory to the tune we hear Griffin used earlier on. Only this is much sparser and Spartan, without a crumb horn in sight. It's a haunting rendition with lots of creepy ambient sounds lurking around in the background. The word ominous doesn't even cut it. And that final crash of thunder is enough to keep you up at night for weeks. Just listen to this.
Again.
So there you have it, 10 songs in the key of An Unquiet Grave. If you liked what you heard, you can find a playlist of all the songs featured on this episode on Spotify. Just look for Songs in the Key of An Unquiet Grave. Podcasting protocol pretty much insists that I ask you to like and subscribe to this podcast on the platform of your choice. And if you know anyone who is a particular fan of songs about, well, unquiet graves, be sure to tell them that this podcast could well be right up their street. I'll be back sooner or later with some more songs in the key of something or other else. Who knows, it might even be a bit more cheery. In the meantime, have a marvellous few days and nights till we meet again.
Green and spring up again.